Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, today I want to just talk about very quickly what I've called the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. Let's say it together, the joy of salvation. Let's add some joy to that. Let's say the joy of salvation. Okay, I want you to say it joyfully, not to shout yet. So let's say it joyfully, the joy of salvation. So look at your neighbor, say, I have the joy of salvation. Now say with me, say, I have the joy of salvation. Praise the Lord. All right. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. I want to show you something very quickly, how the gift of the gospel you have received translates into your life. It affects your mind and it touches your heart. The gospel touches your heart and it touches your mind. The gift of the gospel. So let's say that the gift of the gospel touches my mind and touches my heart. So there must be a translation. Having received the gospel of Jesus Christ, it must land in your mind. It must hijack your mind. That's what the gospel does. And for those who don't really know what the gospel speaks of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When you say the gospel, you are talking about what Christ has done for you on the cross. That is the sum total of the message of the gospel. The gospel is a message that conveys the love of God, the grace and the love of God. And this grace and love of God also says to you that because of what Christ has done, you have come into completion. And in other words, your sins have been forgiven. My sins are forgiven, not because of what I did, but because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah, somebody. So let's say together, my sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Let me show you that for the benefit of those who have not seen the scripture. It says, for he made him who knew no sin, what? To be seen for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Question, what did Jesus do to become sin? Nothing. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. And if you also extend the question, what did you do to become righteous? Nothing. But he made you become righteous because he made Christ become sin. When you put your faith in Christ, all right? When you put your faith in Jesus, you attain the position that Jesus came in. You take on the identity of Christ when you put on or when you put faith in Christ Jesus. So we have become righteous, and that is the message of the gospel. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see that very quickly. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. You are righteous not because of works, but you are righteous because of Christ. You're righteous not because of performance. You're righteous because of Christ, because of what he has done. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Somebody say yes. Yes. And if anyone what sins, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. He says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also what? For the sins of the whole world. So it means that the sins of the whole world has been dealt with by the sacrifice of Jesus. When I look at what Jesus has done, there is nobody standing on earth right now that is not forgiven. Everybody has been forgiven. Are you following what I'm saying, somebody? Everybody has been forgiven, but not everybody has received that forgiveness. And that's the reason why some people would still go to hell. So, yes, you have been forgiven, but the question is, have you received the forgiveness? Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. He says, and let... Are we there? Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is what? Preached to you what? The forgiveness of sins. So the word preach there speaks of announcing. When you say preach, you are announcing what is. All right? So when you say someone is preaching the forgiveness of sins, you are saying forgiveness of sins exists already. All right? It is not what we do on our side that guarantees forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is by a sacrifice that was shed through the death of Jesus on the cross. So through Jesus is preached the forgiveness of sins. So let's say that together. Through Jesus is preached the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I can't hear you, but let's make it louder. Say, through Jesus is preached the forgiveness of sins. But the thing is that not everybody has received this forgiveness. And that's why we go tell people. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself. So we have been reconciled to God. That's the good news. God is not angry with you again. You know, the beauty of the gospel is when you can look at someone who seems to be like the worst of sinners and you tell the person, God is not angry with you. That's the beauty of the gospel. There is no pride. There is no boasting. He says, by grace you are saved, not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now it says, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, you and I now, what has he given us? The ministry of reconciliation. Use the NLT version so that you can have clarity. And has given you the ministry of reconciliation. It says all of this gift, salvation is a gift. Jesus is a gift. Your righteousness is a gift. Your holiness is a gift. Your redemption is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. Obviously. And God has given us this task of what? Reconciling people to him. Next verse. What does it say? Verse 19. Next verse. Verse 19. For God was in Christ. Let's read it together. One, two, go. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So what is your message of reconciliation? God is not counting your sins against you. Somebody say hallelujah. So you look at the prostitute and you tell her, listen to me, my dear sister, God is not counting your sins against you. He has forgiven your sins through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. So come to him. Stop running away from God. Look at your neighbor and say, no more running away from God. Next verse, verse 20. Verse 20. This is the wonderful message people need to hear. So we are Christ. Let's read it. Let's read it. For we are Christ ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. Give your neighbor a high five and say, come back to God. No more running away from God, because God has come to you right now. He's not angry with you. Somebody wave your hands and say, hallelujah. God is not angry with me again. That's the message of the gospel. Our sins are forgiven. Then verse 21, that's what we read. Hallelujah. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you know you are made right, I want you to celebrate your salvation right now. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. So now you have received this message. If this gospel does not take over your mind, something is missing somewhere. It must hijack your mind. You see where Paul says, you have not so learned Christ. It means that the gospel must be able to take control of your thinking, your faculties, your decision making. The gospel must be able to take over your calculations and your permutations. For you to know a man who the gospel has taken over his mind is a man who can never make a decision without God in it. That is, from the start to finish, you make your projections and God is in the picture. Your reasoning is Christ. Your reasoning is the gospel. Your way of thinking is the gospel. That kind of person, you say the gospel has landed in his mind. You know, the Bible says it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That before you bring yourself to doing, there is already something that brings you to willing. There is something that speaks to your intellect. There is something that speaks to your mind. So it is possible to be born again, but not have the mind of Christ, because you have not allowed the gospel infiltrate your mind. The Bible says, who has known the mind of Christ or the mind of God that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There is a way to think as a believer. Talk to me, somebody. There is a way to reason as a believer. Your logic, are you following what I'm saying? Your logic, your interpretation of things has to be Christ-centered. That is one of the things the gospel will do in your life. For example, you see someone who, a market woman tells you, if the first market in the day is credit, then it means that whole of the day is bad market. Have you ever heard that kind of thing before? Now, you know, that logic is not Christ logic. Because you are already thinking, you are doing signs and symbols now. You are not staying with Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? And subconsciously, many of us do the same thing. Or you're a lady or you're a man, and you're saying, in the last 6 months, nobody has come to talk to me. It means there's something wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with you. It doesn't have you. Even if there is something wrong, it's better to believe that you are complete in Christ first. And it is with a complete mentality in Christ that you deal with what a possibility of a problem could be. Because God wants you to have a logic that is consistent with Christ. Pastor, I wrote application. I submitted to 6 different companies and nobody has replied me on this application that I wrote. Nobody has called me back to say, we saw your application. It means that success is far from me. Now, people interpret life because of things that happen, but you have the mind of Christ. You see, when you receive the gospel, your interpretation to things must change. Your interpretation to life, your permutations, your calculations, it has to change. You cannot be someone who thinks defeat. You don't think defeat in Christ. You don't think disadvantage in Christ. Because you cannot be disadvantaged. You are born of God. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you cannot be thinking defeat. There is no money in your pocket today, and all you are thinking is you can never make it in life. It means that you are not seeing who you are in Christ. Let me tell you something. You don't determine your life by what you have. Because a man's life is not determined by the abundance of things he has. You have to be complete before you get that cow. You have to be complete in your mind before you buy that house. You have to be complete before you get that job. So it is not the things that come to you that changes your perception of yourself. You must see yourself as the Word sees you. You must interpret yourself. That's why we call this church the Standpoint Church. Standpoint is not to stand on one point. Standpoint means a perspective. It's that you see things in the perspective of how the cross sees you. That's the meaning of standpoint. So standpoint means that when you look at your life, you interpret your life from the cross viewpoint. What is the Word saying about me? What has Christ died for me? It is only what Christ has died for that I stand with. If it is not consistent with the Word, I choose to differ. I choose to make my difference. And I make my confession only on what Christ has said. How many people here are born again? If you are born again, say, I am born again. And you know what that means? It means your mind has to be intertwined with the Word of God. It means that your reflexes, glory to God. What did I just say now? Your reflexes. You know, when the Bible says that you have not exercised your senses, to godliness, it also means that If you are not trained in the things of God, your reflexes and your senses will reflect your fears and your anxiety rather than the word of God. They will reflect your carnal perception rather than the word of God. Have you ever seen a man that is trained before, a soldier who is trained, all right? Maybe if you have a husband, let's say you have a husband who is a soldier, and you want to do surprise, surprise for a soldier and grab him at the back. Now, picture me. Let's create a movie right now, a 30 seconds movie. You want to do surprise, surprise, and you hold a soldier, and he doesn't know you are coming, but you are the wife, and you grab him here on the neck and say, surprise, what do you think the soldier would do? Soldier will revert back to training. Do I have your attention right now? Soldier will go back to default training. Default training is there's a way we have been trained for combat and for surprises that I don't need to be prepared to respond in a particular way. Who has watched this movie, Born Identity? You seen Born Identity? And you know how Born Identity, a man lost his memory and everything, but there's what you call muscle memory, okay? So that in the face of danger, in the face of fears, in the face of hard, harsh circumstances, training will come out. So it is the same way with you. When things show up at your door, the training of having the mind of Christ, it is your default response. So when the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong, you can't by mistake say, I am weak. Even if you are feeling it, you can't by mistake say, I am poor. It's impossible. What will come out of your mouth is a training. Somebody say, it's a training. The gospel must take over your mind. Touch your head with me. Say, the gospel must overtake my mind. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying today. All right, you have the mind of Christ. And another thing the gospel would do is to take over your heart. What is your heart? Your emotions. Oof. So this brings me to the text. You have what we call the joy of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. You know, so I always tell you people, let us rejoice. And I figured that I have not taught you how to rejoice. So let me show you what it means to rejoice. Firstly, if you're born again, there is what we call the joy of salvation. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. The joy of salvation. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are what? Read with me, everybody. Are you ready? Even the devils are what? Subject. All right? Unto us through thy name. Next verse. And he said to them, I saw. Jesus told them, go cast out demons, heal the sick. And they came back and brought good report. And they said, Jesus, 70 of them. Demons, as they saw us, they took off. So you know what Jesus answered them? See what he told them. He says, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This takes me back to the creation story. Next verse. I don't want to go into that. There are so many thoughts. I just held myself now. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. You know, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I was sleeping in the middle of the night around, let's say, 2 a.m. in the morning. I heard the sound of a baby crying. So I woke up. While I was still in between sleep and being awake, I was wondering, what is a baby doing in my window? What is a small baby doing? So I came downstairs, I checked the parlor. It was louder. The cry of the baby was louder. And I said to myself, there is something wrong. It was actually like a baby's voice. Only for me to realize that it was a cat, an animal. Now, you know, if it's some of you now, there's a way you will interpret that thing. Pastor, cat was crying in your window. Ah. Cat, cry in your window. Pastor, you need 4 days of washing, 4 days of fasting and prayer. There was one of our sisters here, she saw a black cat. And the way she shouted Jesus, it was she and her daughter who said Opara Jesus when they saw the black cat. And I said to myself, so what is the problem that the cat is black? So why do you now think every cat is possessed? Nollywood. Sometimes when you watch things on TV, you don't know when it becomes a mentality. The Bible says you will trample on snakes and scorpions. They called me in Benin one day. They say, Pastor, there is, what's it called now? Owl. You know this bird? The one that has big eyes. He said, the bird is crying and the bird is making noise. It's in the roof. Let us pray. We need to tear down and pull down and destroy. I say, over what? They say, can't you see those birds? Those are principalities gathering over your head, man of God. I'm not joking. They called me out at 12 a.m. I looked at them. I said, you people should not call me for something like this again. If you have real problems, come and talk to me. Not birds. You see the mindset. You have the mind of Christ. There's a way believers think. A woman crosses the road and you just read meaning to it. Or something happens to you, you read meaning to it. Now you are doing signs and symbols instead of you to stay with Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, stay with Christ, stay with Christ, stay with Christ. So it says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing. My father, in the village one day, I was 1 year old. Some of us were not born. And this is, we're talking roughly, you see the swag I just walked now. It's time for me to boast about how I senior some people here. My father mistakenly put his leg inside shoe when he went to the village to greet his dying father at the time. And the Holy Spirit said, check the shoe. He just carried the shoe, did like this, charm was inside the shoe. He took the charm and put inside his pocket. Somebody say levels. You know what some of us will do? In fact, you will leave the shoe there. You may not even have the mind to take the shoe back. My father carried the charm, put it in his pocket, because you will trample upon snakes and scorpions and nothing will happen to you. You know, there are levels to this kind of testimony. Pastor, I stepped on a charm. Hi! I stepped on a charm. My legs started to swell. Nothing happened to me after I prayed. You know, there's another dimension of testimony where by the time you see the charm, you convert the person who put the charm to Christ. It's another level of display of power. You must have the mind of Christ though. We're not afraid of mundane things. Verse 20, let's keep going. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. Shout it with me, say nevertheless. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that you cast out demons. It says rejoice, or that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice. Come on, somebody. Because your names are written in heaven. This is salvation here. So he's saying that miracles, in order to tire Jesus. Testimonies, in order to tire Jesus. But that is not where the primary source of your rejoicing comes from. We thank God for great things. We thank God for testimonies. I mean, some of you have had some from January till now. And we're going to prophesy in the coming few days before the end of this year. The things you are expecting God to do for you, they will show up in your life. If that amen is louder, you would experience it. I said the things you are trusting God for will show up in your life. He says, but rejoice. Why? Because your names are what? Written in the book of life. So I wake up in the morning and I've not heard any good news yet. But there is a premise to rejoice. There is a reason to rejoice. It is an aberration for a believer to be sad. It's an error. Somebody say error. Error. This is the joy in salvation. John chapter 15 verse 10. Very quickly. John chapter 15 verse 10. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 15, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Somebody say, abide in my love. What is his love? Say, the gospel. The gospel speaks of the love of God. That's the love of God. That's the gospel. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. We'll come back to John 15 verse 10. But let's see 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. Let me show you what the commandment of Jesus is. And this, let's read it together. And this is his commandment, that we should believe. So the commandment is not just to thou shalt, thou shalt not. The commandment has moved from thou shalt or thou shalt not. It is no longer 10 commandments right now. But the commandment in the New Testament is that you believe. Somebody say believe. Shout it again, say believe. And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he has given us commandment. So let's go back to John. Back to John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep his commandment, that is, if you keep faith in Christ, what is your experience? Verse 11. Let's go. Verse 11. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 11. Next verse. These things have I spoken to you, which is the gospel. These things, if you keep my commandments, what I am telling you, the gospel, abiding in his love. If you keep these things I have said to you, that my joy may remain in you. All right? And that your joy may be what? Full. So we're not talking about half joy. It's not low current joy here. It's full current. Somebody say full current. You have full joy. Say with me, say, I have full joy. Look at your neighbor, say, you have full joy. Now say, I have full joy. Tell your neighbor again, the pastor is talking about me. Say, I have full joy. We are the people who have full joy here. Okay? So your joy is not affected by anything, not by circumstances. It is full current. Full current joy. Full joy. Luke chapter 24 and verse 17. Luke chapter 24 and verse 17. And Jesus said to them, what manner of communication or conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and you are sad? These are disciples who heard that Jesus died, but the third day had already come and passed. It had come and gone. And these people were talking about the death of Jesus, and they were sad to one another. You know how during Easter period is a time to be sad for many people. Listen, Easter is not when we are sad. Easter is when we rejoice. Because the crux of the matter, what makes Christianity Christianity, is that someone who is called a savior came to die. So we can't be sad at Easter. We even use jokes and phrases when we say, now you kill Jesus, as if to connote that being sad is connoted as, now you kill Jesus. But you see, when we see how he died and what he did on the cross, it's not something to be sad about, something to be happy for. So he says, what kind of conversation is this? These two guys were talking. This guy, he did heal sick, open blind eyes, and they just killed him like that. They were talking with one another and they were sad. But I want to show you, look at verse 52 of this same Luke chapter 24, verse 52. After Jesus had expounded the gospel to them, and he spoke of himself from the book of Moses to the prophets, he expounded on things concerning himself. The Bible says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So it means sadness can be turned to joy when you remind people of their salvation. You have joy from salvation, but it is possible to experience a momentary time of sadness. And when you revert back to your salvation, it brings great joy. So Jesus spoke to these two guys, and the Bible says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Somebody say great joy. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, behold. Somebody say behold. God is what? my salvation. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is the salvation. Now look at verse 3. Since he's your salvation, therefore, you don't start a statement with therefore. The therefore is coming on the premise of the fact that God is your salvation. How many people are saved here? If you know you are saved, say, I am born again. All right? So he says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It means joy is your sickle. Joy is your drawing pot. What's that thing? What's that bucket you call? What's the name? Drawing bucket. If you've ever had a well before, joy is your drawing bucket. Say with me, say, joy is my drawing bucket. So what is the thing inside to draw? Everything Christ has died for. What is the lamb that was slain? To receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, favor, prosperity, deliverance, blessings. He died for all of these things. And do you know how you pull them out in your spirit? With joy, you draw from the wells of salvation. What does that mean? It also means that nothing is funny. This one we're talking about is not comedy. It's not when someone is inducing you to laugh. It is you looking into your spirit and you see what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. And it is with that joy you pull out a wealth that he died for you. So with joy, you draw. You know, I've got some people who tell me, Pastor Phil, I've lost my joy. There is no joy in my life. There is nothing exciting. You know where your problem is? It is because you are looking for exciting things. And in the absence of exciting things, you don't have joy. We don't need exciting things for joy. Ah, okay. I don't know if I'm with the wrong crowd today, but we don't need exciting things for joy. All we need is the salvation. We are pulling from the wells of salvation. You must understand this as a believer. Somebody say hallelujah. So let me tell you different kinds of joy and what is found in your salvation. There is a song in salvation. You can write that down. There is a song in salvation. It is called the song of joy. That same Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Let's keep reading now all the way. Go back to, move to verse 4. Move to verse 4. Next verse. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Next verse. What does it say now? Shout it loud with all that you've got. That's not good enough. Shout it loud again. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. What are the excellent things he has done? Salvation. You look at what Christ has done on the cross. Is that work perfect? It is perfect. Is it complete? It is complete. Is God satisfied with Jesus? He is satisfied with Jesus. Therefore, you sing. So there is what we call the song of salvation. It is called the song of joy. And you know what God is saying to me right now? He's saying that some people are going to be filled with songs of joy in their spirit. I don't know, but if you need what I'm saying, come on, throw yourself at it and receive the word. I said you will be filled with songs of joy in your heart. It is like when you wake up in the morning and it's not induced, but a song is just in your heart. You just start to sing and you just, it says, make melody in your heart. Make melody in your heart. It's a song of joy. Song. Somebody says song of joy. Runa, come and help me. Then verse, look at Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. What does it say? So the ransomed. Ooh, that's me. See, beef. Okay, man of God, please change version. Since my name is distracting right now. Use King James, Apostle. Use King James. Therefore, the redeemed. Come on. Am I talking about you? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. How many of you have returned from your daily activity, your journey? We have gathered together, we have returned. He says, therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. So there's what we call the songs of joy. You come, singing is filled in your, you don't need to know how to sing. It's not only for audacity. This thing, song of joy, is a package that comes with your salvation. All right? So learn to sing songs and make melody in your heart. It alters your mood. You know, sometimes when you're depressed, when you're sad, or when you're feeling down or bad, all you need to do is just pick one song. And I give you 30 minutes, you have altered the atmosphere. You have changed the direction of your heart. Just one song. Somebody say, just one song. Come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Number two thing you're going to write. The first one I said is there is a song of salvation. And number two, there is a consistency with salvation. There is a consistency with salvation. It says everlasting joy shall be on their head. It means this joy never stops. Today you are happy. Tomorrow you are sad. Are you pendulum? You're not pendulum. Today you are happy. Next tomorrow you are sad. And then this week you are smiling. Next week, you say, Pastor, it was a good week. But I don't know, it doesn't always stay. It doesn't always stay. I've realized that about myself. This joy, I can be happy right now, but all of a sudden something will just come from nowhere. This joy is consistent. There are no mood swings in Christ. Pastor Phil, I am melancholic. I am colel. You better don't let melancholy finish you there. You are in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have what? Passed away. And all things have become new. The joy you have is perpetual joy. Happy today, happy tomorrow. Joyful this week, joyful next week. It says, everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Put your hand on your head. Say, you see this, my head. Everlasting joy is on my head. Say it one more time. You see this, my head. Everlasting joy is my head. Consistent joy. Mood swing every time. Every time, mood swing, mood swing. Don't let anybody swing you. If anybody walks out of you or walks away from your life, all right, you better keep your heart and let your heart not walk with the person. Bring your heart back. For he will keep in perfect peace those whose hearts are stayed on you. Protect your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. You wake up in the morning and say, Pastor, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Which, you are the one who is calling the wrong side of the bed. The size of my bed is the right side. If I sit down here, is the right side. If I stay here, is the right side. If I stay behind, it is the right side. Why will it be wrong side when I have Shekinah glory with me? You are on the right side of the bed, though. See, don't let anything, don't let statements. When I no go let me guys preach my message. You know the problem now? This is the only thing somebody will hear. What did Pastor preach today? Pastor said he gets Shekinah glory. That's all they've heard. Meanwhile, I'm telling you that you have joy of salvation. Shout it, say, I have joy of salvation. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, you have joy of salvation. I am Scorpio. We Scorpio, this is how we behave. So that moment of madness, it is because I'm a scorpion. I am a mechanic. I am a melancholic. This melancholic behavior is my personality, Pastor Phil. There's nothing. Listen to me, you are born again. Do you know the meaning of born again? Old nature die. New nature alive. So therefore, if any man, I'm saying it again, is in Christ, all things have passed away and all things have become new. Everlasting joy shall be on their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow. Read it with me. And sorrow and mourning shall what? They will take off. You are waiting for employment before sorrow leaves. You are waiting for contract before sorrow leaves. You don't need to wait for that. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. There's a song of salvation. There is consistency with this joy. There is a shout of salvation. Are you getting this? So when I say rejoice, rejoice can be a song. If I say let us rejoice, it can be a song. And another way to rejoice can be a shout. Let me show you. There is a shout to your salvation. Right? Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6. It is called the shout of joy. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, cry out and what? Shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. It says, cry out and what? Shout. So can we practice that right now? So rejoice and give the Lord a shout where you are. That's what it means to rejoice. It's a shout from your spirit. It's a shout in your spirit. The salvation God gave you is a shout. It's a shout. You know, some people say, Pastor, I'm the quiet type. But when you are watching Man U and Fulham yesterday, and when Man U scored at 90 minutes, Oga, you are not quiet, oh. And then you come into the house of God, and you now start to form for us, I'm the quiet type. One more time, give the Lord a shout in this place, right? Next one. There is a laughter in salvation. Let me show you. There's a laughter in salvation. Psalms 126 verse 1. Psalms 126 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 126 verse 1. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like them who dream. Next verse, verse 2. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. So laughing, singing, joy, they are connected. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. This is your testimony. I prophesy over your life. People will look at you and say, the Lord has done great things for you. Nigeria will look at you and say, the Lord has done great things for you. If you're the one, wave your hands and shout hallelujah. Verse 3. Next verse. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. So I said that there is a shout of salvation. There is a laughter of salvation. It's called the shout of joy, the laughter of joy. So when I say rejoice, it can take any form. It can take laughing. You know how we can join hands together? Excuse me. And we can say, let us pray together. And we spend 5 minutes kabashing together. You know, we can join hands together and laugh together. We laugh in the Holy Ghost. You are laughing not because anything is funny, but it's not, like I said, it's not comedy. But you are laughing, it's a response, it's a training. TSP, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Because tomorrow now, you will leave this place. You will go, you are alone in the room. And all the thoughts and depression will come back. You forget what Pastor Phil has said. But when you are in that space, remember I told you, at times like that, you respond with a laughter. You heard Favor's testimony. Say, doctor told them you cannot have children because your hormones are like that of a 50-year-old woman. And what did she see? At that kind of time, you just respond with a laughter. Hey! The world does not understand what we are doing. Okay, do you pray in tongues? Yes, sir. I'm asking you, do you pray in tongues? Do you understand what you're doing? Does it make sense to you? Does the world make sense of what you're doing? Should the world make sense of your laughing in Christ? Let's laugh in the Holy Ghost now. Laugh in the Holy Ghost. This is how you laugh at the devil, oh. You laugh in the Holy Ghost. See, you know, some of you are not used to it. So you start with a smile. Or you say, let me add, what are they really doing? What are they really? You better put your carnality aside. Engage your spiritual senses. You laugh in the Holy Ghost. You shout in the Holy Ghost. You sing in the Holy Ghost. And finally, there is a leap in salvation. There is a leap. It's called a jump in salvation. Let me show you. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Then we'll read 21. Luke 10 verse 20. Very quickly. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. This is Jesus talking. Verse 21. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. The Greek word for this word rejoice here is the word agalio. All right, and agalio means to jump in gladness. So to rejoice here means to leap. It means to jump. It's jumping out of excitement and out of gladness. So Jesus, while he was talking with his disciples, and he says, don't rejoice because you cast out demons, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And all Jesus began to do, he started doing, ha, 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 hey, glory to God. That's what he started to do. He started to jump. So remember agalio, not agama lizard, but agalio. Agalio. He started to jump. So when we say rejoice in the Lord, it can be a shout. It can be a song. It can be a laughter. It can be a leap. Can we practice it right now? I'm done. Stand on your feet, everybody. Stand on your feet right now. Are you ready to rejoice right now? Now go ahead and rejoice right now in the Lord. If it is a shout, if it is a jump, if it is a leap, somebody rejoice. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Lift your hands, everybody. I prophesy over your life. Between now and the end of the year, you would have reasons to rejoice. If you are the one, shout a big amen. I decree that there are no more delays in your life. I stop the mountains right now. I break the obstacles right now. I release you into celebration. I release you into manifestation. I release you into dancing. I release you into dancing. I release you into dancing. I release you into celebration. I release you into rejoicing. Your testimonies are here. Welcome to your time of breakthrough. The hour has come. The Lord is smiling on your face. Greatness is on your side. Favor is on your side. Wisdom is on your side. Power is on your side. If you are the one who has received it, right now, go ahead and rejoice. TSP, go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and rejoice. Glory to God. So when you get back home and you are alone, all right, faced with persecution, let your default training, you know you are a soldier now, right? So let your training be either of those things. Either you laugh, you shout, or you rejoice. Sometimes I'm driving in my car. I'm the only one in the car. Maybe I'm coming from church or something. I'm the only one. There is something in me that wants to shout. I will shout the shout. I'm alone in my car. Nobody, no neighbors. I will shout the shout. Sometimes the song, you will sing that song until your spirit agrees with what you are saying. Sometimes you wake up and you just begin to leap in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. And to you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Clap your hands, everybody. Give him praise.
concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.